everybody here has seen those horrendous pictures out of Fort McMurray. Whether on TV or online or in the newspapers, it's really just astonishing and terrifying as well. I know that many of you have connections with people, with friends, with family who were out there. But to think that a city, you know, bigger than Peterborough could just be overtaken by wildfires is absolutely horrifying. And so in story after story, we've been hearing, you know, heroism, etc. I heard a few days ago a young guy who was being interviewed on the radio. He'd been working south of the city, and his wife and very young children had to be evacuated. They had to go north, and they went north to the camps, and he had one short phone call with his wife, and then her phone cut out. So he was incredibly frantic, but with one thing and another, finally they were able to fly his wife and the three little ones down to Calgary, and he met them at the airport in Calgary. And he was just saying it was just incredible to be able to actually be there, to actually have his children and his wife back. And then the interviewer said, well, and what has happened to your home and all the rest? And he stopped, and there was this pause. And he said, well, you know, until you asked me, I haven't even thought about it. And that's understandable, because he was so overcome with worry and anxiety about his family, he hadn't thought about the stuff. And then he said, well, thanks be to God, or something like this. Well, thanks to God, he said, it may be there, it may not, but I have my children and my wife. And that's what counts. That's it. I'm paraphrasing, but that's it. Because we all know stuff can be replaced. But certainly to be able to have what is absolutely most important in his life safe in his arms, that's a whole different matter. And I know every one of you would feel exactly the same way. When we look around so often, it takes something like a catastrophe, or it takes something like that sudden jolt to say what's really important in life. And you can see that even today with these readings. With these readings, we have the apostles. And so they had Jesus with them for 3 years. And then, boom, the passion and the crucifixion. And then he's back with them after the resurrection. And now he leaves them again. Talk about being pulled back and forth and back and forth. But there's a big difference between their time of those 3 days that our Lord lay in the tomb and what happens now. As we heard in the gospel, and they worshipped him, and then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. This time they know that that absence is not at all the same thing that they were suffering after the crucifixion. Instead, it's something totally different. They're not entirely sure, because even now, in those last few hours before Jesus leaves them in the ascension, he breaks open everything to open their mind to understand the scriptures, to say everything within the prophets, the Psalms, the law of Moses, all that we read in the Old Testament and the Psalm every single Sunday needs to be explained again. And so for ourselves, that's not surprising that we need to have it explained. But when we look at this, we have to ask ourselves, what does this absence of our Lord, this ascension of our Lord really mean? We know the rest of the story. We have our Pentecost window right there. We know that in a few days that the Holy Spirit will come upon them. But they didn't entirely know, but it didn't matter. Because they knew that this was only a perceived absence of God. Sometimes in our life, we can feel that God is absent. And I'm not just talking about atheists and agnostics and the rest of it. Sometimes you can just feel that God is absent in your life. Where is God when I need him, right? But our God is never truly absent from us. It seems that he is absent in one form, but he dwells among us in a very real way. The reason that we come to Mass is because we need to have God. That's why we come to Mass. We come to Mass so that we can receive God right here in a few moments, that Jesus Christ comes among us and we receive him. That's what we have to come to Mass for. We come to Mass so that our hearts can be open to receive Christ. That's why we come to Mass. We are here because, not because we've got it all together. I come to Mass, you come to Mass, because I haven't got it all together. That's the truth of it. As we heard Larry read in this first reading, we need to be able to have it explained again and again, to have our minds, our hearts open to the reality and to the power of God. And not just the power of God, the power of God, the presence of God in my life and in your life. I would say there's three areas that we need to see that presence of God. First, we need to see that presence of God in our own life. No matter how miserable your day has gone, no matter how horrible things have worked out, isn't there a movie, The Awful, Horrible, Awful Day or whatever that has come out? No matter how it works, I always say to people at the end of the day, stop. Stop. Before you go to bed, before you go to sleep, stop. And ask yourself, how was Christ present in my day? How was Christ present in my life? Because no matter how difficult, somehow God has been present in your life in that day. We need to be able to have that awareness of the presence of Christ. We need to know, like the apostles, that though it seems God is absent, God is not absent from us at all. Think of how Christ has been present in your life, today, yesterday, and throughout your life. It's Mother's Day. The very fact that you're here is a miracle. The very fact that you're alive is a miracle. That somebody cared enough about you to care for you, to be able to raise you up. That's an astonishing thing. It's an astonishing thing to have been given those children, whether children of your own heart and blood or children that have been given to you in any number of ways. Think of the little ones that come up for the children's liturgy. Each one of them is a miracle, and you have been a miracle as well. But you don't often stop to think about that, do you? It says in another place, St. Paul says, you are God's work of art. Maybe when you looked in the mirror today when you were getting ready, you said, I don't know, this looks like it needs some art restoration or something. But you are God's work of art. And that is an astonishing thing, that God is present to us. It is that particular Christian insight, isn't it? That Jesus Christ dwells within us. That's an astonishing thing. To say that God has done this and this and this in my life, that God sustains me in my life, that God allows me to be present here, to look around at these people, and you may not know everybody's name, but to be present as part, as we heard Deanna read in the second reading, as part of the very body of Christ. That's a phenomenal thing, and that's only one. The second is that Christ is always present in his church. He's present in his sacraments. He's present within us. People can run down the church and they say, oh, look at this and look at that and look at this failure and that and everything else. And they're right in some ways, but not in other ways. It's not that the church is composed of so many saints. I'm here too, I know. It's that it's composed of sinners. And even in spite of that, look at what the power of God has done right within us as the church. Nobody else comes close to the Catholic Church in terms of running the biggest system of health care in the world. Nobody else comes close to running the biggest educational system in the world. But it isn't just out there, it's right here. How often it is that we as believers are gathered together to serve the poor. How often it is that we reach into our own pockets and our own lives, disrupt our own lives to be able to go out to those who need us. How often it is that in spite of not knowing exactly what to say, we still speak of Jesus Christ. And that's because we're called to work according to the working of his great power, so that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. This I know, that Jesus Christ is alive and present and lives among us. And if we know nothing else, and if we proclaim nothing else, we know that. And that's what we're called to be able to speak in season and out of season, to be able to speak to people and say, this is what I call you towards as well, the presence and the power of Jesus Christ alive. And regardless of what is happening in your life, I can tell you something better, to give meaning, to give purpose, to give direction to what it is that we are and what we are to be. And thirdly, God is present in our world. I know the world can look hard. Look at those people who are out there in northern Alberta. The world can look very devastating. It can seem that evil is triumphant. The reason that people are going up to Ottawa in a few days for their March for Life is to try to resist evil. We know that. It's all there. Pick up a newspaper. Go on any website you want, and it's all there. But evil has not triumphed. And evil will not triumph because God is present in our world. God isn't absent. The ascension is not about God leaving us. It is about God saying, I will give you a power such that you cannot naturally know. And regardless of what atheists will say, atheists always say, you know, God is not real or religion is just for fools, right? That's not true at all. Because God is present in our world in a powerful, powerful way. It's true that when you looked at that image months ago about that young child who drowned while his family was trying to get to Europe, it stirred people's hearts, but it stirred their hearts to action. When you look around in history and you see that we should have been overwhelmed by evil, we are not overwhelmed by evil. We have to fight it. We have to resist it. But isn't it astonishing that people now will be able to think that they should be concerned about somebody in Nepal who has suffered in the earthquakes or in Ecuador, that the people here are suffering or there are suffering, whether inequality or natural disasters or whichever, that people will actually reach out to them? And that is a sign that God has stirred our hearts and our minds to be able to say that these people too are real, that these people too, though very far away, that I'll never know personally, are people who too are called to know the love and the power of God. So whether you're in high school, or whether you're retired, whether you're working, whatever you're doing today, look around and realize God is present here. This is a good day to realize that on Mother's Day, because we're called to stop and to think. I know it's a secular holiday, but still in all, we're called to stop and to say, the miracle of God is inexhaustible. And it will be known in this way and in that way. God is not absent from us. God is here. And He is present. He is active. And He will be alive and known through us, His people, when we ourselves will go out, not just in Ops in the city of Kawartha Lakes, but out to this province and out truly to the ends of the earth, so that what you do and how you speak in the name of Jesus Christ will reverberate to the very ends of the world, because we know Christ and He is alive and present among us.